Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Friday, August 5th. I cannot believe it. It's 8 o'clock, 8:02 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. Today is call-in Friday. Let me give you the phone number. We haven't had any callers call in on Friday for the last few reasons, hopefully not for the same reason, but because these last Fridays I've had Dana Durnford join us. Hi, Dana.
Good morning, Lonnie. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, let me give out the phone number. I would really love for some of our listeners to call us and ask us some questions. Dana is a plethora of information. So his number is 718-717-8296. That's the call-in number for UCY.TV. It's 718-717-8296. And if you're hearing this radio show afterwards, that number will connect to another show because that is the number to the radio station. So, thanks for joining us, Dana. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, good.
If that's possible.
Well, it is possible, you know. It is. That's why I say in the intro is happiness is resistance, because the rats who are running the show, they're narcissists, and they feed off of watching us be miserable. So, like, one of the things we can do is just decide.
Must have a big belly on them.
Yes, they do. They do, and it's increasing. You know, we didn't even talk before the radio show. I called you right before, and I don't know if you saw this article, but I was dumbfounded yesterday. Surfers.com was putting on a story about how they're going to have surfing now at the Olympics. And it's going to be a new sport in 2020, and they're going to hold it in Chiba, Japan. Chiba. Yes. So explain to our listeners where Chiba is in relation to Fukushima. This was a hype bout. I couldn't believe it.
I can't imagine doing it anywhere in Japan. Yeah. And I don't know where Chiba is off the top of my head. I got probably 100 headlines on Chiba, but if people understand or were to think about what I actually do, I'll bring up a map of it. But if people were to think of,
me too,
there's 440 power plants, and you're trying to keep up with all of that. You got all the nuclear waste sites. You got all the accidents. You got all the old nuclear accidents. You got all the injuries. You got all the downwinders. You got the contamination, and then you got thousands and thousands of isotopes and their daughters. And so you lose track. And you can't keep up with it. And that every plant out there is leaking. Now, I brought up the map of it, but
it looks like it's several hundred miles away.
Yeah.
So don't worry, it's all perfectly fine.
No, just keep talking and
that's exactly what they're saying. I mean, it says here the travel distance is 149 miles.
Okay.
And it is actually south of Fukushima, which, you know, is even, I don't know if it's even worse or bad, but how that
70% of the country is highly radiated in Japan. The rest of it is radiated and highly radiated. Yeah. Child cancers are up 5,000%.
I mean, didn't Chris Busby and even Arne Gunderson, they took air filters from Tokyo and specifically...
That's where Chiba is actually, just by Tokyo.
Yes, that's why they're having it, because it's like just a hand's throw away.
And they had half a billion glass particles per square meter. Surface of the ground. So where your child might stand up waiting for the bus with his umbrella or her umbrellas, that right around him would be roughly a square meter. And half a billion. Now, so Germany throws their food into the nuclear waste site, packages it up at 5 becquerels, and that France does that at 17 becquerels. This was pre-Fukushima, the same day.
Wait, what are you saying about this, about the food?
Right, and so when you got half a billion glass. And these glass balls were the sulfur peroxide hydrogen buckyballs created by spraying the salt water on the reactor. These are hot, very, very, very hot particles. These are very dangerous particles. And they're liberated, not solutable in water, but yet they'll travel through those venues, those vectors. And so Chiba, the green tea out in Chiba was banned. I can't remember, 1,800 becquerels a kilogram or something like that. Remember, Germany packages nuclear waste at 5 becquerels, and France is 17.
What do you mean packages it? Means
well, he packages it up and puts it on a nuclear waste site. Well, he puts it in barrels or whatever.
Oh, you mean that's above the allowable limit. That's what you're saying.
5 becquerels is the most you'll have in your food legally. If they find it, then it has to be put on a nuclear waste site. Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked that.
And what is that? What, do you know what it is in the United States? I think ours is very high, isn't it?
1,100?
What?
Per kilogram, yeah. Per kilogram. And they keep raising the limits. That's what they do in responses to a nuclear accident. They don't try to solve any issues. They don't send in big herds of people. No, they raise the limit and pretend it didn't happen over and over and over. This is the legacy, and there's no one out there will hold them accountable. And the average person... You know, that's why we do these shows, is to try to help them. But it's such a complicated thing. And so you can understand why a lot of people can't grasp it. And that's why we kind of exist in many senses. Is it took ourselves a long, like I was at this long time before Fukushima, but it took years and years before I became anti-nuclear. I was originally pro-nuclear. And because I didn't understand it. And so you read all the rhetoric and you just... You know, la 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 land, and you start sleepwalking down that road. But as you, the minute you start to research it, the minute you start to look a little bit further, the minute you try to come up with, understand the terminology in the articles or the lectures, that's when you really get an eye opener. When you look at all the animals that died in every study for 70 years, you start to say, hey, wait a second, that'll happen to humans too, won't it? And sure enough, as you look further, you understand that is happening, and it has happened. And for 70 years, this has been ongoing. And you feel overwhelmed at that stage, I'm sure. I know I did. And then you get a resolve, hopefully, and you learn, you educate yourself. But it's not easy, is it, Lonnie, to educate yourself?
No, and in fact, right now I'm on the EPA, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I'm on their website, and I'm looking at real near time. It's a map. It's an interactive map, real near time and laboratory data by state. So it's this little map with all these, like you can zoom in on it, with all these little blue dots, right? And we're on the West Coast. You're pretty close to Vancouver, so I'll pop on the dot for Seattle. And then when I say zoom to it, the way they have it, they don't give you the data right away. In fact, they don't give you, have to really, the way they do it is so complicated. But Dana, I don't know how to read this map. The thing, it says gamma gross count rate, counts per minute, and it starts at 1,000. And it has the dates from April 14th on the bottom, the measurement end date and time, to August 4th, right? So it looks like the data, some of this data spiked up like around May, the middle of May and the middle of June. It looks like it spiked up to like, I don't know, 1,200. Could that be 1,200 counts per minute?
I would imagine. Yeah.
And then, because like today, it's less than a, it's over the, it starts at 1,000. So it goes up to 1,000 and it's almost at the next. I mean, I don't get how they do this. This is, they don't tell you how to.
Like strontium 90, for instance, didn't start showing up into the quantities until about 1,000 days after the meltdowns. That's when strontium 90 starts really manifesting itself, and it becomes one of the biggest producers besides curium from the chain reaction. Curium acts like plutonium on your body, and it'll go into your bones and cause mutated stem cells, vicious cancers. But 1,000 counts per minute, if they're acknowledging 1,000 counts per minute, it's just, like you say, gamma, just one type of gamma. But most of the isotopes, they can't, or literally almost all the isotopes can't be read with that Geiger counter.
Really?
You literally need thousands of Geiger counters, and each one calibrated for each isotope to actually work that out properly. And I don't even know if that kind of technology actually exists.
Do you know what this means? Gamma energy range 9, gamma energy range 8, gamma energy range 7. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I have to see it.
This is what
I mean. You got to research every aspect.
And the
of it.
Thing is, even when you get it, the way they disclose the information is so.
If you can't read between the lines, it's not going to mean anything to most people.
There's actually an activist working in Salem that I met about last month with Mimi Gurman, and he basically. He's kind of made a side hobby of reading the EPA rates. He's gathering data, which she's going to post up. He's doing it for like the whole last year and a half. I think he wants to finish out this year. But he was saying that once you really, they put the data up there and it is astounding, but they put it in a way that makes it very difficult to find and interpret. But once you get it, it's really astounding how they just like, straight up kind of tell us that we're being poisoned. It's like right now the EPA, this whole question about are they going to raise the rates of radiation? They're going to raise the rates of radiation levels in the United States. That was just, you know, they opened it up for comment, I think, out of niceties. But we can go here to the Nuclear Energy Tracking Center, and current CPMs in Idaho Falls is 563. I mean, the country is red-dotted.
Yeah, and so your Geiger counter, once it's a gas inside of it in the chamber, and the gas gets excited, and then that's translated into a count. Now, the gas, when it gets excited, it takes momentarily for it to calm down again before it can register another count. And so the rule of thumb is if you got a count, then there's six more there. Now, that's just in whatever spectrum that they were counting in, gamma or beta or alpha. And so they're not counting. If they're doing gamma, they're not counting all the other gammas. They can't. And they're not counting the beta or the alphas.
This is what it says. CPM of gamma in energy range 600 to 800 EV.
Yeah, that's run. That's run. Run away as fast as you can.
Really?
And what was that headline you mentioned just before we went live there, 65,000.
Yes. I actually read this on my YouTube channel. It's a story from February 27, 2016. I had not read it, or maybe I forgot, but I just, Shane Russell posted it on Facebook right before I went to bed, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to read this again because people in New York need to understand. In fact, I think this article is what made Kevin Finnegan think about getting out of New York because of the details. The headline is incendiary because it implies that Fukushima and this are just a bad. It says 65,000% spike in radiation outside New York nuclear plant is likely worse than Fukushima. Worse than Fukushima. Raising the specter of a Fukushima-like disaster only 25 miles from New York.
A story just come out about Indian Point a few minutes ago. Packed motels and restaurants show Indian Point powers homes and economy, and the influx of workers is one of the many benefits Indian Point offers local community and economy. I mean, so that's obviously someone coming out to spin this.
Yeah,
that's
well,
ridiculously
Chuck Schumer says, if you can help us replace the energy, as if having electricity in your house is equivalent to the lives of millions of people. It's so outrageous.
Right. They'll get rid of nuclear when you can find another solution, is what some of them will say.
This is what
you're alluding to?
Yeah. This is what it says. February 27th, this is what they reported. Of course, the tritium leak is the ninth in the past year, four of which were serious enough to shut down the reactors. But the most recent leak, however, according to the assessment by the New York Department of State, as part of the Coastal Zone Management Assessment, contains a variety of radioactive elements such as strontium-90, cesium-137, cobalt-60, and nickel-63, and isn't limited to tritium contamination. What's interesting is, guess what? It actually, that's kind of the story with every leak, right? I mean, it's not like it's just New York with this. It was multi.
It's an old reactor, and these reactors only meant to last 30 years because of the metal fatigue, but they keep extending the life of it, and that was never supposed to happen. That was acknowledged when they originally done it. It had a 30-year, and then you would decommission it, because at that stage you might be able to decommission the reactor. But the minute you refired it up after that stage, it was because of the X-rays, the neutrons, and the gamma shines from the fuel rods themselves into everything around them. And so they can melt your organs in just a minute and kill you just like that, nothing to it. But it can do that for very long ranges. That's why we only see the homeless, the destitute, and the immigrants going into the reactors in Japan, because the rods blew up. They're all over the site. And people are not familiar with that. 1 pound of that rod will kill 1,500 people in about 20 minutes in a big room. The front audience is dead in about a minute. Now, that rod is on stage quite a long ways away, but it'll kill everybody in that room. It'll do that every 20 minutes till the end of time, that same 1 pound rod. And they are storing them throughout America in holding sites in all the communities. So when you do the tally on the nuclear power plants releasing it into your communities, not just the power plants, it's all the nuclear waste sites and all the dumps and landfills that they dumped it into in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
I'll tell you what, at Indian Point, I think the state of New York just voted to give them $500 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a nuclear industry.
I think that they did renew their license. I think I'm trying to find this, but I'm
the NRC sure. has never said no. They might have said no, but then a week later they'll say yes. And if they said no, it was probably because they didn't get their shakedown or something. That's all that was. They don't care. They are not the criteria, I'm sorry, the charter for these power plants when they were originally built, they were under charters. And charter is like your normal corner shop would work under too. And that's what a business was supposed to work on. They got themselves into what's known as corporate personhood. And so they can't be held accountable. The company can get a fine. The company can't be dissolved and liquidated to pay for restitution and outstanding debt.
Well, in the States, we have worse than that. We have the Price-Anderson Act.
The same thing, yeah. What you're going to university about, right?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of my whole focus.
That's an important...
One of my whole focus is, once I get my BA, I'm going to go into law school and get... I guess you get a pre-law degree when you get out of the university. But my whole focus is going to be about revoking the Price-Anderson Act. And actually, there are some law firms dedicated to that, as I found out. So I imagine that I'll be...
If you want to stop what's going on, you got to do that. That has to happen. And you got to take away corporate personhood from the corporations. They're not entitled to it. It was an illegal amendment to the Slavery Act. And Justice Hugo Black wrote eloquent dissent in 1939 of how absurd it was that an amendment meant to free slaves from an oppressive government was used to give corporations human rights in increments over decades by corporate lawyers. So they took the slavery law, manipulated it, and gave corporations certain human rights. Not all of them, but quite a lot of them. And those human rights, the best way to look at it, understand it, would be Google, Eric Schmidt, everybody's familiar with that, and Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, most people I'm sure are familiar with that. They can't get a criminal record now, because they got corporate personhood. They can't go to jail because they're protected under corporate personhood. And no one can be held accountable. And the company can get a fine, is all can happen. Nobody gets a criminal record. The media doesn't shun them because they got a $1 billion fine or $2 billion fine. And they get them all the time, all over the place. But they can pay
because those $1 billion fines, they negotiate down. They don't get to deduct it on their tax returns. But you know what happens?
No, because it's offshore. They put their taxes in offshore accounts. And so they don't pay state, federal, local, provincial taxes. And then when they get a fine, which is basically a kickback, then they'll take money out of their offshore account and give it to them.
Well,
but that money was
that,
supposed to be
Dana,
paid.
They don't even give them the
fine. That was their taxes they were supposed to pay.
But look, if anybody really pays attention to these fines, because I do offer and compromises for work. I help people negotiate their tax liabilities.
Sure, yeah.
And so I get these notices from the government, all these different agencies. And one year I inadvertently, accidentally subscribed to some government thing that talked about the penalties. It's a penalty phase for other BP, they negotiate down. We hear these big settlements, right. Oh, the government got an $80 billion. No, they can negotiate down for like a few hundred million or like 200 million. It's a ridiculously low amount. I mean,
right.
It's a slap in the face.
They didn't pay the taxes.
And in lots of industries, the food industry, the wine industry, the tobacco industry, the liquor
If it's on the stock exchange, right, it uses that voice, corporate personhood, to not pay any taxes in the country, put their money in offshore accounts, but it also gives them a walk-out-of-jail-free card, and they don't get a criminal record. How is that going to be helpful to any country? How could something like that be beneficial when you
get people? We're talking
just corporations. Yeah, all of a sudden they have diplomatic immunity. But if you do this, like if Google hacks you and they get caught at it, they get a fine. No one gets a criminal record. They get a fine. If you hack Google, you get a criminal record and you go to jail. Now, how is that even sensible? How is that possible? Not only that, Google and Facebook, they're hacking all the governments that are using end up with their cookies. That data is also going into Google and Facebook, and they're aggregating that and selling that over and over and over. How is that different from Russia stealing it or any other country stealing the data? See? They just buy it off Google. They just buy it off Facebook.
This is what has to happen. We have to decide we have enough of militarization, because it's not the government. We have to remember the government is human beings going to work every day. If we need conscientious
inbreeds going every day. Go ahead.
I mean, we need conscientious objectors. We need people to go, wait a minute. You know, there's that little voice in the back of your head, oh, man, this is really bad that I do this for a living. Yes, it is. And actually, so just don't do it. Like, that's the thing. Don't go to work where in a place where you spy on people. My former neighbors used to tell me all the time that they were building satellites, and this guy would say, you know, you have no idea what they can do and where they're going, and I can't talk about it. I'm like, then why do you work there? He's like $120,000
right.
a year. I'm like, that is so not worth it. You're selling out your soul for a little bit of money. It's
that's what 98% of the academics do.
Yeah, and they've been trained that that's what they're supposed to do. Our number, in case anybody wants to give us a call and join in on this conversation, is 718-717-8296. You're listening to the Age of Fission radio show with Lonnie Clark and my guest host, Dana Dernford.
Like, who would take a job? Like Dr. Raymond Gilmedy from Loveless Respiratory Research Institute, where they kill beagle dogs and beagle puppies with plutonium and americium, neptunium and curium for 35 years. And so they have large groups of dogs, and they make them inhale radioactive materials from a chain reaction.
How many dogs?
The groups of dogs could be in the thousands at a time, and generally there are 100 or a couple of hundred in between that.
So
there's also another lab doing the exact same experiment.
At least 100 dogs.
At a time.
Wow.
But there's tens of thousands of these labs right around the planet. There's hundreds of thousands in different countries. Russia's doing it. India, Pakistan is doing it. Israel's doing it. Canada's doing it. And so they're taking all these animals. But the point I'm trying to make is you get up, you got an education, you went to college, kiss your mom and dad, and then you've moved out, and you got your own apartment, you got a job working for this corporation. You go in every day, and the dogs are in agony, full of tumors, liver, lungs, and bone tumors. And you can't give them sedatives, you can't give them painkillers, because that'll smurf up your experiment. It'll be an extra factor into the experiment. It's not supposed to be there, so you don't do that. So you cut the vocal cords out of the animals so you don't have to listen to them in agony all the time. This is what they do. But every day you walk into that office, you get a big paycheck every week, huge paycheck. But all day long, you're surrounded by this agony, this misery machine. And for 70 years, every animal has died. So the results is never going to be any different. But what it is, they study different paths through the animal, different isotopes on the animal. And it has killed every animal every time. They've never cured an animal that we know about. And I have thousands and thousands of studies. And so who could do that? Could I wake up every morning to get a paycheck and go in and do that? Or do I have to be predispositioned to be an emotionless and soulless and heartless person to go get that job? So I went and got the university degree. I know what I was doing. I applied for the job. I went in there, seen all the dead animals. I got up next morning, came back to work, got up the morning after, and done that for decades. And now I'm put up on TV or in the media or in lectures or TED Talks or somewhere, and I'm considered academic. Expert. I'm considered a big shot scientist. And all my friends treat me like that. But in reality, if my friends were to see, I'm just talking third person. If my friends were to see what I was doing every day as that academic, killing these big old dogs and big old puppies, and how cruel that was, I wouldn't have any friends. Because the friends I got, throughout my life, are not the same as the people that I work with. Yeah. They're not the same kind
of... Hey, Dana, we have a call. I'm going to add him into the group. Good morning. You're on the radio with Dana Durnford and Lonnie Clark.
Good morning, Lonnie and Dana. This is Candace in Ohio.
Hi, Candace in Ohio. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, Annie. I was wondering if you would expound a little more on what the discovery was at the Diani plant the other day when you were talking with Jeff Rentz. You guys were talking about the notification that Diani had also linked.
Right. Thank you. And the Diani, now, as you know, Candace, I've talked about Diani many, many times and showed those headlines. But it was the first time that we seen the media come out. And this was Forbes magazine talking about Pokemon Go. And Forbes come out in the first paragraph and said that they can't decommission the Fukushima Daiichi 1 or the Diani 2. And then they brought in a games host who makes the Pokemon Go, who has that operation. And they had made the same statement in their press release. Now, all the other media ran with the story, but none of them mentioned Diani. None of them.
And Diani is very close to Fukushima.
And the Diani plant is 10 kilometers away. Wow. And 400 kilometers of that coastline was chewed up by the tsunami, turned into a wood chipper. The Diani was one of them. The Okanagan was another one. And there was four facilities and 15 power plants. But the fact that they mentioned the Diani was the sister plant of the Daiichi. It was the same reactors. And on the roof of each of the reactors is 5 reactor cores. 10 years of reactor cores are stored upstairs. People just call it fuel rods. I can't stand doing that. But that's what it is, fuel rods. That's all a reactor is fuel rods. But it's reactor cores. And so when they say fuel rods, you take away, because fuel rods could be 10, see? But in reality, there's minimum of 65,000 fuel rods. They're 18 pounds each. And upwards of 3,400 assemblies, and each assembly is 80 rods. It's 280,000 rods at most. But 65,000 rods is the official narrative lately. And so there's 5 sets of that, 5 times 65 on the roof of each of the buildings. And, of course, the biggest producer of those rods, the isotopes, is curium. Curium is just like plutonium. Now, you'll hear a lot of people talking about plutonium in the reactors, and they say, oh, there's a couple of hundred pounds in there. And that's really scary. But the reality of it is the biggest producer is curium, which acts through your body. It goes through the same paths as plutonium does. And plutonium is so deadly. 1 millionth of a gram for sure will kill you. But 1 billionth of a gram will get you in about 20 years. So very dangerous, very deadly for till the end of time, what we consider the end of time. And so the Diani plant doesn't get any wind. I seen the headline, and I was really shocked that they had put that there. But the 20 or so following articles that night that parted it, Forbes' article, never mentioned the Diani plant, not one of them. That is shocking, see? That is the betrayal.
Well, because, the Diani, you know, this go is ahead. part of it is there's articles. I just, as you were talking, here's one written 2014, how the other Fukushima plant survived. It's been sold that it's okay, even though subsequent articles to this, I found an article in International Business News about the Daini, about a worker there suffering from a head injury from handling nuclear waste. They don't mention that it's not operable, but they're handling nuclear waste. This was a really interesting hidden story about it, because if you go there, you see this worker at Daini. There's a picture, and he's in full gear. I mean, it says about 9 miles away from the destroyed Daiichi plant on Tuesday. This is really ironic. Like, they
2012, they wrote off the Fukushima Daini plant. That was the Japanese Times. Number 5 and 6 at Daiichi also was written off at that same time. And the plants, they say... Go ahead, Candace.
If they were hiding all the things that they were hiding from Fukushima, even though they had the cameras on it, can you imagine how bad Daini is? They haven't had a camera or any kind of publicity at all on Daini. What are they hiding there that they're willing to show at Fukushima?
It says it suffered severe damage but escaped Daiichi's fate. What they're saying is it suffered severe damage, but it did not have the nuclear, because it didn't blow up.
Well, no, I got the headline showing that, yeah. It did blow up, and they did have fires there, and that was before the tsunami came in. So within, it took 4 days, and they got it in a shutdown. But now we know, like, they had no power. These pools are boiling off 120,000 liters a day. There was no way to get water in there.
Right.
So if you see the new construction,
what's
the new construction though for a power plant? Is they have a big pool now on a hill that can gravity feed for 72 hours, and that's because the water boils off so fast. They're hoping that will give them enough time to be able to bring in heavy equipment and pump water from somewhere else into the reactors. And so, like, what they done in Daini was the same thing they done at Daiichi, where they pumped salt water allegedly into these buildings because the power was gone. And then we got workers speaking out. We even got workers there that have written books, workers that have died of multiple cancers after working there for a week, multiple tumors. We got the emissions. We know that if you look at the tsunami footage of Daini, that place was a wood chipper also. 400 kilometers of that coastline was turned into a wood chipper. And so Daini also had all kinds of storage facilities on the ground, which was swept away and swept all over that prefecture and out into the ocean on top of that. This is, like, once again, this stuff is so dangerous in such a small quantity and for such a long time. And so what they done was they slowly, Fukushima worked its way up because people like us went to bat. But nobody bothered going to bat about Daini. And if we had, we would know that story like we do with Daiichi right now. We would have flushed it out. I have flushed out 15 headlines about it. And so I'm 100% convinced in what I say. There's no illusions about it, because I have looked at all the tsunami damage throughout the coastline where all the power plants were too, that 15 power plants we talked about earlier. And yeah, and so that's why the Pacific Ocean is dying and literally dead at this stage. It's just the fissure left. Go ahead.
I think, Dana, that one graph that you showed where all the dead people were along the coast, and then, you know, compared that with where the nuclear plants were along the coast, was very telling.
Right. That's where all the people died, from, like, way past that towards Tokyo and all the way up to the north end on the east side of Japan. 400 kilometers where people died by the hundreds in each community, because the tsunami ran through those communities and ripped out all the telephone poles and power and auxiliaries and everything else. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, they got multiple melted reactors in different sites, and then they got all the nuclear storage sites, holding sites, were swept away and destroyed. We know there was 1,800 tons that burnt at an oil refinery. You see those pictures of the oil refinery when people talk about Fukushima?
Yes.
There was 1,800. 1,800 pounds, not tons, my mistake, of seriously dangerous stuff caught fire. It burnt off. This is an event all on its own. The reactors blew up in Fukushima in particular and threw the rods all over the site. The number 3 reactor at Fukushima Daiichi is 2 million times worse than any reactor on the planet. It's 4,500 times worse than all the reactors on the planet combined, which is 440 reactors, and it they can't do anything with it. They don't know. It's mixed oxide fuel, 2 million times worse. And so just that one alone probably would have killed the Pacific Ocean. But it was all the nuclear waste sites that were swept out into the ocean, including the common spent fuel pools at these reactors full of millions of pounds of reactor rods.
Right.
Yeah, no, the whole industry has failed us in every step to try to cover up and continue to cover up. And
they,
very good at
they
it.
Really yeah. have failed. Like that article by Dr. Alvin Weinberg in 72 that I read off and on here, he talks about themselves being the nuclear priesthood, how they have the responsibility for guarding this nuclear waste in perpetuity, and how, you know, we have this Faustian agreement with them. They have miserably, miserably failed in their responsibilities. And they are convincing
on
people.
Purpose.
This business of like having a surfing event in Japan while Tokyo.
That's posturing.
It's so outrageous. Well, what they're trying to do is normalize nuclear, you know, radioactive poisoning. They're trying to normalize.
Oh, yeah. They're moving everybody back in. It'll go back in.
And in fact, look here in this article in New York, the government, basically, Chuck Schumer says, basically, you know, he's not going to get behind shutting down a leaking nuclear power plant because of the energy that it provides to his state. It says, I've told some of the environmental people, if you can show me a plan to figure out a way to replace that electricity, fine. But if you can't, it's
that's because they got no other argument.
Yeah.
That's because
if you can't, it's going to raise electricity rates 30-40%, which are high enough for the average people, and that's not the way to go. In the meantime, I have emphasized very strong safety. He says that he's emphasizing strong safety while, you know, it's completely outrageous. You know,
like lightning used to strike this planet and still does, and coal fires have burnt on this planet long before any life showed up on it. The coal, everything on this planet,
is there something
in its natural form.
Your background there?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is that me or is that you?
I'm not hearing nothing.
I am. Good. I'm glad.
Okay, well, I'm gonna sign off. Thank you very much, Dana.
Well, thank you, Candace, for calling and asking that question, because the Diene is actually just as serious as an issue.
Oh,
yeah. Love you, Dana. Love you, Ronnie.
Bye. Thank you.
Later. Hugs, Candace.
So let me ask you this, Dana. Are there other power plants besides Diene that you have found out that were catastrophically affected? That article that I just pulled up alluded to it. It said it didn't have complete explosions, but all the reactors did lose their capacity for a cool meltdown. That's what it said. It lost its capacity for a cool meltdown.
Yeah, well.
What happens when that? That's like that. That's the. It's so outrageous. The way they.
Just run that by me one more time. That didn't.
It basically said that at the accident, let me pull the article up again.
It don't matter. Just what were you saying?
It was saying that it had a capacity that all of the power plants basically had lost their capacity for a cool meltdown.
Well, and so the power plant, it has to suck in 1 million gallons roughly a minute to keep these reactors cool. And if it don't do that, it's game over shortly after. And so this is why they have all this redundancy put there. This is why it's so expensive to run these things and so difficult. And this is why they're located by big vases of water. And so 1 million gallons a minute, if it doesn't get that, this is for the reactor we're talking about in particular, then the temperature starts to rise, it becomes uncontrollable. It rises exponentially. And within a few hours, it starts to boil off. The water is so hot. If you don't put water in before that happens, within 24 hours, it lost all of its water. Now, it decay heat, you got to keep it underwater for 10 years once it's finished the chain reaction. 10 years underwater, and you have to put in each of these pools 120,000 liters a day. That balls off into your community full of radioactive isotopes. That's full of it, 100%. But they're mixing it with the 1 million gallons a minute that they boil off to cool the reactors. to make the steam. They boil a million gallons a minute to make the steam, is another way of looking at it, to power, to create power. But that's, once again, we'll do the math on that. Take a million gallons a minute, turn it into glasses of water, 16 million glasses a minute per reactor, and each glass has around a billion creatures. And 75 to 100 million in a glass are the phytoplankton, the basis of the food, the carbon, and the oxygen chains. Okay, so Oganagawa, O-N-A-G-A-W-A, Onagawa, and Hagahidori nuclear power plant has one reactor. The Onagawa nuclear power plant has three reactors. The Diachi had six, and the Doni had four, and the Tokai had one. And so these places all lost their water. They weren't able to bring water. And so they would have had partial meltdowns or full meltdowns. Well, the fuel pools would have started to melt down because they couldn't get water.
I've pulled up that said, it kind of gives a graphic. Now, it does look like nuclear lies. It says that they realized on day one, basically by 6:30 in the afternoon, three of the four reactors lost their cooling functions. And what this article goes into great detail explaining is that the site operators start rerouting the plant, the electricity that they do have from one cable. And so he...
That's the Doini.
Yes, at Doini.
Yeah. No, that's Lois.
Because it basically look at it says this way, cooling function restored in unit 1, 2, and 4 on day 4, but they don't talk about unit 3. They don't mention unit 3.
Why do they lie? This is what they do. These professional lawyers. Hey, the better way for everybody to think about this is the Diachi power plant, for instance, four reactors. And so each reactor would have had each reactor building had six reactor cores in it. So four sixes, yeah. That's how many reactors was at this power plant that melted down. It wasn't just like Chernobyl was one power plant. It didn't have reactor cores on the roof, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it was one reactor. It was one third the size of Fukushima. Chernobyl was a 30% meltdown, and then Chernobyl stopped after 10 days. And Chernobyl was equated with 400 Hiroshima bombs. The Hiroshima bombs were 1 pound. And this is how they got that number. They said around 400 pounds escaped from Chernobyl. But each of the buildings in Japan have six reactor cores that are missing. So that's six meltdowns in Unit 1, six meltdowns in Unit 2, six meltdowns at Unit 3, and six meltdowns at Unit 4. So we're not talking like Chernobyl, one-third the size of a single reactor. We're talking about 24 reactors at just a one power plant, not counting the 9 million pounds was in the common spent fuel pool on the ground where 50 feet of water came in and tore it away and brought that out into the ocean. They cemented the ocean floor in front of that place. But these reactor buildings detonated. Two of them in particular blew the radiation rods, and one of them, Unit 3, blew the core, and Unit 4 blew the core right out of it. And they say Number 4 never had nothing in it. But if you, like I show the pictures all the time, the cap on the core is in the middle of the building. The cap is sitting to the right-hand side, right on the edge of the building, and it's not bolted down. And the reactor cores are in front of it and to the left of it. So we're talking about 24 meltdowns. When I talk, that's why the Pacific Ocean is dead. And that's why when I done the expedition along the coastline of British Columbia, Canada, for 260 days and 15,000 miles, it was eradicated. Life was eradicated. And only a handful of species.
That must have really changed your life.
Yeah, because I'm used to, I got 14,000 hours.
I mean, that you must have just been stunned.
I freaked out.
That's probably why you did 15,000. You probably just kept going trying to figure out, okay.
I figured I would find an oasis, yeah.
Yeah, you probably just kept going, okay, let's keep going north and we're going to find something. We're going to find something good. You know what I mean?
I know when I done the first trip, actually. And if you go look at that video, you'll know I knew. You can tell now when you look back at it. Right? Because people didn't know me so much back then. But you can tell that I knew this was serious, but I had to prove it.
Obviously.
I had to prove it to myself.
You put yourself and your dog on a little tiny. I used to worry about you. I'd watch your videos like you.
Rightfully so.
I mean, you didn't. It wasn't like you had these big productions. It was obvious you were a little handheld phone. It was probably just a phone camera and videotaping along the way. And
find a little tiny bit of bandwidth. You had to make a small, shitty video and put that out, and get that out so people knew you were okay or that you were you needed
and
help.
And here we are, Surfer Magazine. Let me read you the specifics of this surfing at the Olympics.
The event
will take place in the ocean, not a wave pool. Venue will be at Chiba, a 45-minute or so train ride from Tokyo. Competitors in total, 20 men, 20 women. I wonder how many of them are going to have heart attacks. Countries from all over the world will be represented. High-performance shortboarding only, no longboards and no bodyboards. And the guy was asking, well, why can't you do it indoors? And he's like, well, because they didn't want to build a building that would only be good after, you know, during the Olympics. So, and we love being in the ocean. When I was reading that, it made me think, you know, these surfers around the world, they have to have known. They see the dead fish. They see that they know that, but there is like this intentional. I have a client of mine who's in Southern California, and I was talking to her about this, and she's like, and she lives right in Southern Cal, right very close to San Onofre, and you know they surf all the time near San Onofre. And I said, do you know that that area down there, the land is too radioactive. The government won't take it back, like the Navy will not take San Onofre back. She's like, oh my gosh, because you're telling me I have to tell my 12-year-old grandson he can't go surfing. I'm like, yes. So she still has not told her grandson, and he still doesn't care. They don't believe it. And you know what? When he gets testicular cancer or dies of a heart attack or 12 or, you know, 15, 17 years old, they're going to go, oh, wow, what an anomaly.
All the males that were in California just after the accident, during the accident, and a couple of weeks following it in particular, a couple of months, were breathing in around 360 hot particles every day. And so a lot of people get confused, and they say, well, Dan, I don't see people dropping dead all over California. Yeah, because cancer is the last one to show up. It takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years to manifest and get diagnosed.
And how long does it take you to die? I mean, like, can people go through it? Like, okay, so Kevin Blanche had cancer or has cancer.
It will show up, see? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but he's not on the rolls of people who died. He's on the rolls of people who have survived.
I know lots of people that had cancer, and they look totally normal. Unless they were into the heavy chemotherapy, that's where you turn white because you killed every cell in your body almost. And that's what they try to do, and you lost all your hair. I mean, nobody survives it. 97% of the people get chemotherapy, which starts off with chemicals and then immediately turns to radiation for until you're dead, has killed everybody. And the 3% that survived most likely didn't even have cancer, but got
that's
it right. from that
treatment. There's a coalition of 2,000 doctors here in the United States, Dana, who have signed a petition asking to end the chemotherapy because they've noticed that 90%, over 90%
I hate,
of their patients
I hate,
end up
how could
dying.
You not notice this? See? I hate these people more than anything on the planet. I hate them. I literally, figuratively, in every sense of that word, I despise these people. I have nothing but contempt, and I have outrage, and I have indignation, because every time I read, and I do, I read constantly. I have thousands of studies. They know what they're doing. They know what it does. There's no illusion about this. There's nobody comes into this game professionally and doesn't understand the significance of the peer review studies that I got. No way. And so these people are animals. These are, well, an animal is good. These people are savages in every sense of the word. These are
They have no regard for
disgusting.
I mean,
these are like, disgusting people.
I mean, they justify everything to themselves. I mean, this is just exactly. But
I don't even know if you do that.
Entire,
I think you do that. I think you like what you do. You like what you do.
Yeah, maybe.
How do you kill dogs all day, every day for 35 years, and then come out in the media and say there's no issue from Fukushima when you know exactly what that does? How could you do that? Because you don't have you're not human like me or you. You don't have emotions like me or you. But Fukushima nuclear fuel, 500 trillion becquerels a kilogram by Tokyo, glass spears. Now, that same spears was in California and was in Seattle and was in Boston and then in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You found it everywhere. It was everywhere. But it's very hard to find. But a couple of institutions had found it. But that's all they done. They found it. They reported on it. And then they kept their mouth shut. They didn't expand on it. They didn't tell people the actual implications of it. Like 360 atoms going in, you're breathing in California each day for the first couple of months. For the males, that was going right to their testes. So there's going to be a you know, that's a population killer. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. That's 100% an extinction event.
Well, look what's happened in Japan. Their birth rate is like eight, making an arrow downward, a steep
and arrow. And 860,000 cancers in 2012, excess cancers in 2012, less than a year later. This is because there were such high doses, like half a trillion becquerels a kilogram in Tokyo of the glass spheres. This is unconscionable that that has happened and that. See, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell the truth? If you're in power, you're going to lose your power. Not only that, people are going to want you criminally charged. They're going to want all the scientists criminally charged. Their families will turn on them instantly. There's nothing they can do to pacify anybody because they're guilty. These are murderers, and the truth will come out in the very near future because the outrage is not going to – look, it's not going to stop. They're sending in the homeless, the destitute, and the immigrants, the people who don't speak the language into Fukushima. To clean up what they call cleaning it up. You're not supposed to do that. You send in very intelligent, highly supportive groups that are methodical, and then you deal with it. You don't send in people that are going to create more accidents, more releases. You don't have people with no oversight. That's what a nuclear scientist and nuclear academics are. There's no oversight for all these experiments on animals. You can be as cruel as you want to those animals. No one's going to hold you accountable. No one's going to come in and say, hey, you know, give them some water. No one's going to do that. There is, they don't want any, no one wants that job.
This is what people aren't talking about. In Fukushima, in Japan, Japan's fertility rate rose slightly last year, but deaths were higher. Listen to this. The number of babies born in 2015 grew by 2,117 from the year before to 1,005,656, up for the first time in 5 years and remaining above the key threshold of 1 million, according to the ministry. Meanwhile, the number of deaths hit a post-war high of 1,290,428, an increase of 17,424, topping the number of newborns for the ninth straight year. The population decrease lagged a post-war high of 284,772 as a result. The lifetime average birth rate for women under 29 fell from 2014, but for older women it went up. They are actually logging in the decline of their own people.
After Chernobyl, there was 100,000 abortions right away. These were necessary, but Japan has an incredible amount of deformed babies being born, like really deformed, that they hide away. They have an incredible amount of stillbirths, and they have an incredible amount of autoimmune deficiencies, which will show up, 1,800 of them will show up before cancer. The manifestations of these are not going to be in increments. They're going to show up hard and heavy, and so they're tight control. They have legislation where the media can't talk about anything unless it's sanctioned by the government. And that now local person who works for the local government in your community in Japan, who goes around picking up garbage, he can declare something state secret. And you can go to jail for reporting on that or photographing it and putting it up publicly. And so they have went after this with a heavy hand, an authoritarian, draconian censorship routine. You look at my stuff on the internet with 20,000 subscribers, each video will get stuck for 10, 12, 14 hours.
And what's your channel? Are you talking about your website?
Beautiful Girl by Dana on YouTube.
Okay, so it's a YouTube channel, Beautiful Girl by Dana. You do have a website where people can go.
The nuclear proctologist. Yeah. You gotta put TH in front of that, or you'll get some spammer who started an operation that come out and demonize me with nuclear proctologist. Cool. I think they went into business, but
so we have to put in what to get to you?
The T H E.
The nuclear proctologist. Okay.
.org. Yeah. And everything on that site is free for everybody. That's
so
free.
This is
those
a
pictures
story.
Can make
April
a documentary.
April 20th, 2016. Parents' worst nightmare. Wave of babies in Japan born with extra arms and legs due to Fukushima radiation. Stillbirth numbers on the rise by Daniel Barker. And this is in from Natural News. This was in April, and they're not, you know, this is part of what they're not talking about. I mean, it is, it's such an outrage that they're not even discussing the harm to our species, our entire species. It's unbelievable. I mean, one woman recommended to get an abortion at 6 months pregnancy last summer, and her unborn baby lacking one arm, one leg, and only three fingers on its foot. Three fingers, I guess, three toes on its foot. But, I mean, more than 10 girls have, you know, this is the sad part. In Japan, actually, women are sort of, I believe that they are, many times it's not even really an option. They make them have abortions. The doctor recommends it, and because it's the way they run it, you have to do what the doctor says. I know that about women that have gone into the hospital in Japan. You kind of, like, it's even worse than here in the States, where you really do lose your rights about what you can do. In Japan, the doctor tells you what you have to do. So it's you know, totalitarianism at its worst. It's not even fashion. It's just straight out. I mean, you know, I remember looking at George Bush, Dana, when he went over to China and he put his arm around the leader, the Chinese leader at the time. And I remember he was stood there looking at him so proud. And I remember him saying something like, "This is how capitalism should work." And it ran a chill down my spine because he meant that in every sense of the word. He loves the totalitarian style capitalism that China is enforcing in their country. And that's what they've done to the United States. It's really...
Well, people need to go and look at the material at the nuclear proctologist. For instance, if you scroll to the bottom of the page, there's a couple of hundred headlines on each of the pages. But there's also sections there full of headlines. That'll get you up to speed. That'll get you educated. That'll get you articulating. That'll give you a real narrative.
And it gives you a place to even just launch off your own research.
Yeah.
You don't have to take these.
That's what it's all about.
Reading these articles, you don't have to rely on the articles. Go to the source of what the articles say, because very often when we follow up on our own,
just type it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And go read the articles.
You can go to Google Scholar. Actually, if you're not a student and you don't have access, you can go to Google Scholar and sometimes look up scientific research.
Yeah, Google Scholar.
I'm going to add somebody in, so hold on just a second. Good morning.
Good
morning. You're on the radio with Lonnie Clark and Dana Durnford.
I just thought I'd give a quick call in before you hang up.
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, guys. I got nothing to add. I just want to say I love you guys and...
Your attitude is so good. Since I heard it, I recognized it. The second I came out.
I just love you guys, and you're adding to that large soup that's out there. I call conscience, the spirit and conscience. So I love what you're doing. I love you guys, and that's all I wanted to say before.
Love you too, Thomas. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom, for calling.
Bye.
Awesome.
Hear your voice. That was Thomas Ackerman, and you can find his artwork also. Thomas is one of the very few artists who's actually speaking out vehemently and really comprehends the severity of what we talk about week after week here.
You guys saw his blogs too, Thomas Ackerman.
Yes.
On YouTube, you'll find him.
That's right, Art Rant. It is H. Thomas Ackerman. That's how you
find right.
H. Thomas.
And like, he's extremely intelligent, extremely articulating, and extremely caring.
And he has, again, we've all done our own research. This is the value of all of us speaking together, because all of us do our own research. And honestly, it has been like unpeeling an onion, isn't it, Dana? You're like, I call it the Scooby-Doo moment, where we're going, like, say what? Like, they're doing what? Like,
right. The biggest breakthroughs were never eureka. They were always, hey, what's this?
Yeah, exactly. Like, say what? I mean, really, it is, it's such an outrage, and it continues, the outrage continues, and week after week, and you know what, it is going to be up to us to continue, and we do have to have our facts behind us.
Well, if we don't, nobody will.
Yes. Oh, guess what,
you guys? We are it.
We only have 45 seconds, so thank you, Dana Durnford, for joining me again on the Age of Fission radio show. Call in Friday. Please do join us next Friday, and I have an open invitation to Dana to join me on this radio show. He always adds to it. I really appreciate it. That's Dana Durnford at thenuclearproctologist.org. He has a YouTube channel, Beautiful Girl by Dana. My YouTube channel is Nuts for Art, and I'm beginning to make some videos and post up, because I realize not that many people are talking about Fukushima on the YouTube, so I'm going to get back on that bandwagon. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Take some action. Put pressure on these maniacs to, like, protect our Earth. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Dana.
Yep, bye, love.
Radio with LaVon. Make sure you check out UC.